Does demolishing foreclosed homes make economic sense?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We just got earnings from Bank of America, which says it made a profit of about $6 billion last quarter, thanks in part to what you might call creative accounting. The bank's consumer real estate division, think home mortgages, actually lost more than $1 billion. Now, Bank of America is holding a huge number of bad mortgages, so it recently began giving away foreclosed homes to cities that demolish them. The theory goes, get rid of excess homes and housing prices will go up. But as Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports, it costs real money to tear down a house.
Cleveland is home to hundreds of abandoned houses. Damian Borkowski manages their demolition for the city.
There's a number of costs. Firstly, you have to conduct an asbestos survey, and those run around $600.
If asbestos is found, there are more expenses. Otherwise, the cost to tear down a house is around $10,000. That includes hauling away the debris and filling any remaining hole with dirt, which isn't cheap.
Oh, yeah. We buy dirt.
Kendall Pelling is with a nonprofit community development organization that demolishes dilapidated houses in Pittsburgh. Sometimes, he says, the city recycles dirt from other properties.
If we have dirt laying around somewhere, we can get a reduced price. Then we just have to pay to truck it.
Demolishing abandoned homes can prop up the housing market. In Cleveland, Damian Borkowski says it also helps the labor market.
A lot of the people now who are doing demolition were house builders, and since there's no work there, they are using their machinery to tear houses down for us.
Cleveland plans to tear down around 700 abandoned houses this year, one sector of the housing market that's still booming. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Well, if you want to see how the bad housing market is affecting the rest of the economy, look no further than the home improvement company Lowe's. It said yesterday that it's closing 20 underperforming stores and cutting about 2,000 jobs. Lowe's is part of the commercial real estate market, which includes things like apartment buildings, malls, office towers, and of course, big box stores. For more, let's bring in Hessam Naji, who is managing director at Marcus & Millichap Real Estate Investment Services. Good morning.
Good morning.
You are a guy that watches the commercial real estate market all the time. What keeps you up at night?
The biggest risk is if we have more than a stagnation in the economy. I think we're going to dodge a recession, but if there's another shock that results in large volumes of job losses, we can see the occupancy levels start to go back down again. This is very unlikely. I think the worst of it is over, but that is the biggest risk.
But employment here in the U.S. is a bigger concern for you than, say, the debt crisis in Europe.
They're both important because we are in a global economy, and the debt crisis in Europe, if it's going through a contagion, could harm the recovery here in the U.S. But to me, the fundamentals of commercial real estate in the U.S. are the most important, and that's driven by jobs.
If you think about the sort of era of malls that we've had in the United States when they were being built big time, is that something that we're going to see going forward, or have we sort of changed our culture a little bit and we're not going to see that so much anymore?
Online sales are the fastest category of retail sales in the U.S. And because of that, the use of brick-and-mortar shopping centers and other types of retail is being reinvented and challenged. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a while before property owners find new demand for the spaces that are being emptied.
Are the office towers in cities like Nashville and Detroit, are they filling up again, or do we still have a lot of empty floors?
We still have a lot of empty floors, and even though in the last 12 months we've added close to 550,000 business service jobs, the demand for office space is going to trail the improvement in jobs because companies have a lot of excess space. It's going to take about 2 years to burn through that excess space before we see a true recovery in the office sector.
Hessam Naji, Managing Director at Marcus & Millichap Real Estate Investment Services, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across Europe this morning and also in Asia, more than 4% lower in Hong Kong after China said its economy only grew at a rate of 9.1% last quarter. That was the slowest growth in China in more than 2 years. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 247 points to close at 11,397.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. and by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at novonordisk-us.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
NBA players and owners will meet again today to try and reach a deal on how to divvy up revenue in their new labor contract. The NBA is already canceling the first 2 weeks of the season because of the ongoing lockout. But now, as Sally Herships reports, the league may have to cancel games all the way through Christmas.
Fun sports fact of the day. BRI stands for Basketball-Related Income. Yearly BRI is about $4 billion. That's how much the NBA generates in revenues when it's playing.
The owners claim that they've been losing around $300 million a year in the aggregate, putting all 30 teams together.
Andrew Zimbalist is a sports economist at Smith College. He says players don't believe the owners' numbers. The first 2 weeks of the season have already been canceled. But Christmas time is key because
football is about to fade out and basketball is about to take over as the major professional sport.
If you're a team owner or a player, tis the season to sell jerseys and fill luxury boxes. So does everyone lose if games aren't played?
The teams that generate profits will suffer. The reputation and the brand of the NBA will suffer.
And businesses connected to basketball will suffer. But Zimbala says local economies overall won't. Consumers will spend their entertainment dollars elsewhere. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, from basketball to Scrabble and some drama at one of the final matches at the World Scrabble Championship in Poland, the letter G went missing, and one of the players asked authorities to take another player into the bathroom and strip search him for it. They did not carry out the search, but the accused did win by 1 point. No word from the accuser. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Standardized testing, love it or hate it, it's part of the curriculum. But what happens now that teachers have skin in the game?
A bunch of students had left a number of questions blank. And then they all, on the last seven questions of the exam, had given the exact same answers. It certainly looked like someone else had maybe filled in the answers for them.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, another installment of Freakonomics Radio. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.